Hey guys, welcome back to the Black and Bold podcast where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics each week. I'm Nishan.
I'm Luxon.
And before we begin, we're going to go into a little news segment starting with Young Thug and the trial with his lawyers. Luxon, explain what was going on with Young Thug.
So basically the feds were setting up a RICO case against him and YSL, the group he's affiliated with. I think it's Young Slime Life, I'm pretty sure. And they were setting up a RICO case against them for years, which is basically a big case which involves a bunch of evidence tied to a group. And basically the RICO is going after the whole group or just a large collective of people. And yeah, basically a lot of people from YSL were taken in, including Young Thug and Young Gunna. Gunna got out, but Young Thug is still in there. He's still going through trial right now, and just a lot has been popping up with him in the news, especially just everything they're trying to do to save this man, just how they're trying to flip every single thing he's done into a positive. Like, for example, when his lawyer brought up pushing P meant pushing positivity, another creative way to flip something he's done, as well as him saying that Young Thug stands for Young Truly Humble Under God, which is another flip they tried to do, and they've done this a bunch of times.
Yeah, it was that whole thing was crazy. The first time I heard it, I did not think it was real. I'm going to be completely honest. I saw the whole video with the lawyer ending like it with him saying, well, he can be truly humble under God. And that is Saul Goodman. That's all I got to say. He's Saul Goodman.
Just the pausing and the theatrics that he was implementing into his argument were very performative, I guess. That's a good way to put it.
It was freaking hilarious, though, how he just started roasting Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey was malnourished. Yeah. He was picked on and bullied in school.
And basically just violating his client, trying to make him look as just bitch-like and innocent as possible. Just so he has chance to not face these charges.
I did not even expect him to just pull that out. It was so funny how he just straight up roasted his client. It was funny. Like it didn't feel real at all. And honestly, I think Thug is cooked.
Yeah, they're trying to pull out their trump card, bro. They're trying to literally last resort sort of shit.
Yeah. To add on, there was an attorney who was like just talking for Truly Humble Under God, mm-hmm, aka Jeffrey, and she used like her evidence as like from a Bleach reference. Mm-hmm. She used like a Bleach reference. For those who don't know, Bleach is an anime. It's a very popular anime. Mm-hmm. And basically all it amounted to was her calling all of it filler. Like, I guess the people involved was like filler. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, do you remember fucking season, I forgot what season it was, but like she was just talking about a bunch of random villains. Yeah,
basically just referring to Bleach as something credible to use in this court case, I guess. I mean, I really don't know the angle she was going with there, and I'm surprised she passed the bar, I'm not gonna lie, because that is a very low IQ argument for a lawyer to be making, especially in a high profile case like this with Young Thug. I mean, his lawyers are, damn it, they're trying, but I don't think he's gonna make it out of there.
Yeah, Nick's cooked. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it was, everything about it was so surreal. None of those people were serious. Even the judge himself, he had like an emotional support dog in the room. Mm. Got a black lab like in there, and he was like, "Don't touch my dog," and mm-hmm, all that. Mm. But I don't. It's like stuff like this. And you don't, it's like, this is the state of America right now. It's just, mm-hmm, shit is crazy. But like,
yeah, that shit is some, sorry to cut you off, but that shit is entertainment, bro.
Yeah, but speaking of America, the state of America right now, We're at a point where gay furries are hacking our nuclear lab.
Damn. Guys, I haven't heard much about that, but would you mind explaining it?
Yeah, of course. It's pretty simple. So it was just a couple of gay furries that, or self-proclaimed gay furries, that hacked like a nuclear lab, like a U.S. nuclear lab. And all they really did with it was just like say that we demand cat girls and stuff like that.
That's it.
Yeah.
Very simple demands.
Yeah. And while they was looking for the feline femmes, they were on Twitter and people were just like flaming them on Twitter. And they were just giving the most vague information and saying, oh, sorry, like I'm just looking for cat girls and shit like that. But yeah, it's I don't even know. No one knows if they're actually gay furries. No one knows what their actual intentions are. They were actually just looking for cat girls. But I've never seen a group of people with possibly like a lot of intelligence. Like they have to have the intelligence to infiltrate like a nuclear lab and then hack their information. Like you gotta have like a genius level IQ. But I've never seen someone with a potentially high IQ like that to have such few brain cells.
Brother? Yeah, this is just the most random just news I could have heard.
Yeah. The craziest thing about it is that it's not like we're not it's not unfamiliar to us. Because over the summer, interesting story, a bunch of UConn students, including us, we got an email from the gay furries. I don't know if it's the same ones, probably is. But yeah, it was saying, like, I was talking about how our president, Radenka Marek, died and all that. Maybe I think they said she was assassinated or something. No.
Or some JFK shit.
Just dead. But, like, you know, pretty quickly after, like, you see a follow-up that says this post was made by gay furries. Wink, heart, like, heart shit, you know. And it was just... I didn't even know what happened. It was over the summer. That was the crazy thing about it. It wasn't even like during the school year. So we were just, I was just chilling at my house and I just saw the email and I was just so confused by it. Like I heard the gay furry story. The second one with the nuclear lab, I actually found that on Yik Yak. It's like, at this point, it's like.
I think just gay furries are taking over at this point. They're, they're slowly growing their masses and. Yes, they're looking for a takeover.
They're gonna have like a monopoly, bro. But yeah, it's just, I feel like at this point, reality is more fantastical than fiction. Like you can't make this shit up. Yeah, and then like next one is it gets it's not as crazy as this one, but it's still keeping up the crazy. So, just learned that Adidas recently trolled Kevin Durant on Twitter, because I refuse to call it X. But anyways, the tweet was, someone asked KD, do you think he would ever wear Anthony Edwards Adidas sneakers? And then KD responded, you won't ever see me put a big toe in them motherfuckers. And then, like, Adidas followed up. And then, like, all it says is, you dusty, about to retire soon. And then, like...
Shots fired. They shooting back.
Yeah. They call KD dusty. And I'm not going to lie. That's so great. Like, he took it back. Like, the person on the account retracted the statement. But still, it's already out there, bro.
Yeah.
I can't believe it was real. He said, like, it was, like, that was his wrong... he put it on the wrong account. But
nah, that nigga know what he was doing. He knew.
Yeah.
But I see, he was just saying that for the media, but yeah. But I say, how do you feel about Adidas shoes? Have you ever owned a pair?
Yeah.
But I say, you like the wear of them?
I don't prefer them over Nike, but they're solid. They're like a solid second place for me.
Second place, really?
Yeah. They're solid shoes. Like,
yeah, they are. I don't rank them that highly, but. They're fine.
As far as basketball sneakers, I'll say that.
Like, okay, sure.
Yeah. Like, what is your second place?
My second place, it goes Nike, and then I'd probably have to give it to, honestly, Crocs. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were saying sneakers.
I mean, Crocs are, they're a clog / sneaker / just anything. They can be.
All right, whatever.
There have been a ton of modifications to them.
Yeah.
That could make them sneaker-like. But, I mean, I get what you're saying with that. If I had to select another alternative, I'd probably say, dang, what do I wear a lot? Maybe, like, Vans or something?
Yeah, honestly, that's a solid choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Adidas has gotten into some hot water before, like, with the whole Kanye hysteria, you know? All that about what his comments and how Adidas like dropped him and then brought him back.
Wait, actually, I would say Jordans. I'm not gonna lie, Jordans would be second.
Yeah, that's honestly fair.
But I feel like they would be second, but they're interchangeable with Nike for first. So first, second, interchangeably.
Yeah, honestly, that's a fair one. I said what I said though. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Any other news?
Not that I could. Actually, yes, one more thing. I want to talk about the T.I. and Club incident that happened. So basically, I'm going to give you guys a brief little recap. Basically, a club promoter put T.I. and his son King on a flyer without their permission or without their knowing. And T.I. basically found out, man pulled up to the club. And he was in the doorway talking to the club promoter, I'm pretty sure. And he was like, none of this shit is going on. No sections, no alk, no bottles, nothing. He said, I'm shutting this shit down. Basically saying he didn't get compensated or he wasn't really acknowledged in any way. So he just decided to shut the shit down. And yeah, he was, as they say, standing on business.
Damn. I'm not going to lie. So someone faked, like, them, like, their picture or their name,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, basically, for, I guess, for, in an attempt to make more people show up, someone, I think the club promoter, put both his T.I. and his son King's face on the flyer to make people think that they were going to be there to, I guess, give the club that was going on just more popularity in that event, I guess.
Oh, my God. Like, that's, I'm not going to lie. It's good for him to lay down the law like that, but damn, no one is safe, bro.
Yeah. About to say.
Bro, imagine, like, someone just in your name decides to, like, throw a huge-ass party. And it's like you're not aware about it until, like, you know, you just walk by and you see it and all that shit. Or someone tells you online.
Like, yeah, that's why as a celebrity or someone that's famous, you really got to be on your P's and Q's and do your research to make sure other motherfuckers aren't using your likeness or image in any way to personally benefit themselves without you receiving any credit or compensation or just acknowledgement in any way.
I think the lesson for this week is that America is fucking weird.
Yeah, especially with the furries thing. That shit really just threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I was not even expecting to hear any shit like that, but I guess this is just the climate we live in right now, bro.
Yeah, this country is not real.
Mm.
It's just not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll move on from that, like, and we'll go into our main segment for the weekend, which is microaggressions.
Mm-hmm.
So, Luxon, how would you describe microaggressions, and how do they make you feel?
I would describe microaggressions as just minor, covert comments that may trigger you. And I would say they make me feel just uncomfortable. Like, and it makes me feel uncomfortable and just kind of weird. Inside a little bit. It's just a bit of a weird thing to happen and a bit of a weird interaction or exchange to have with someone that directed a microaggression towards you. What about you?
Honestly, I would say the same thing about microaggressions. Like, that's the way I define them, too. They make me feel rather uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's more like a why are you doing this as opposed to, like, I'm genuinely, like, I don't want to be here type thing. It's like, just stop doing it.
Yeah, and it's really a mix of ignorance on the party's part, mm-hmm. or just them knowing full well exactly what they're doing, like intentionality with it. So
yeah, because the thing is that I think about 90% of the time when a microaggression has been targeted at me, it was like unintentional. It was just out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always like those times where it's like, you should know better.
Yeah, just like blatantly targeted.
Yeah, it's like mostly just stupid, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's like I'm not like, you know, we're chilling. Like microaggressions are like passive aggressive. That's the way I see them as mm-hmm. well. 'Cause it's like underhanded. I guess is a better way to put it. It's underhanded. Like you're just throwing a jab at someone for no reason, and it's like, and it's not relevant to anything usually.
Mm. I got a quick question for you, like you just had for us. What is a common microaggression that you feel like you hear a lot?
Me, like directed to me or like just in general?
I would say directed to you. Let's make it more personal.
This is what I'm talking about when it comes out of ignorance and not like actual like malicious intent. But can I touch your hair?
Talk about it, bro. Talk about it.
Yeah, I remember. So I need to give you a little backstory, guys. I went to a like mostly white private school for mm-hmm. high school. It was like I could count the number of black people on my hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's how dry it was in terms of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up with like a lot of situations where like white kids act like they've never seen black people or any person of color before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of that is hair, because our hair is noticeably different than most other people's, like, mm-hmm. you know, the kinky hair as opposed to the straight hair and all that. You all know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would be like some random times there would be a kid that's like from behind me in the auditorium, someone would be like, oh, can I touch your hair? Or sometimes they'll just straight up do it. They'll just put their hand on my hair. Yeah,
just the entitlement, bro. It's, yo, I hate when that shit happens to me because I just feel like an exhibit, bro. It feels so weird.
It's like I'm not a dog.
Mm. Yeah, like there's a way to like compliment and have curiosity about someone's hair type or hair texture without like directly having contact with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can verbalize your curiosity and just ask the person directly questions just to, I guess, fulfill that sort of curiosity that you have.
Yeah.
Because just directly touching someone's hair or scalp, I'm not gonna lie, that shit is assault, bro.
That is a violation of personal boundaries.
Yeah. It's just not right.
There's no reason, like, because it would be like, if I asked one of them, can I just touch your hair? You'd be looking at me funny. You'd be thinking I'm, like, a creep.
Yeah, people need to think more about things from the other perspective, too. Like, I feel like they only see shit, like, one-sided. I feel like that's a problem that a lot of people have, just not considering, like, other perspectives or just how another person might feel with certain things.
Yeah, it was like the worst part was that it was not just guys, it was girls too.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you have seen a black person before.
Mm.
It's like our hair is unique, but it's not like I need to touch it unique.
Yeah, I hate especially when that shit happens with just like a group of people because you just feel like there's a burning spotlight on you just due to this moment, which just makes shit this weird.
Yeah, the thing is that, like I said, I think it's out of ignorance. I think they just don't know how to,
mm-hmm.
I think they just don't know better. But the problem is, you should know better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, that's one of the things that's always got to me because, like, it used to happen a lot, especially when I was in my freshman year. But, you know, obviously, once you establish boundaries, then people are not going to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
So what about you? Like, what's like,
the most common?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Question. I would probably say, wow, you're smarter than I thought you were. Just that shit, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
bro, yeah. Microaggression. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I got it.
Just, like, irks me, bro. It's so irksome, like, on a different type of level. Because it's like, dang, like, you really think I'm that just, like, stupid and ignorant as a person?
Yeah, it's like, what does that imply? Like what do you, why would you expect someone to be stupid? Yeah. What was the assumption there?
Like, I have a feeling that some of these niggas just view me as a nincompoop, bro. And no. That is definitely not the case, bro.
No. Here's another one. You're so articulate.
Oh, my God, bro. Bro, it be them same niggas that be saying that, but they be asking you if you did the homework or be asking for, like, help with an assignment or some shit. Yeah. Yo.
Some meatheads. It be
the same niggas, bro.
Some meatheads.
Yo. That shit is so crazy.
Yeah, it's like... What were you assuming? Why are you assuming this shit?
Yeah, bro. I hate just having my just intelligence questioned via that microaggression.
It's not like their grammar is perfect either. They'll be talking in slang and shit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say they may be even worse than you.
Yeah, it's hypocritical.
Yeah, extremely. But I say, speaking about the thing you mentioned about ignorance. Do you feel like it is your place to help inform some of these people, or do you feel like that's not really your place to do so?
You don't need to inform people. You just got to make sure you know that it's not okay, that they know it's not okay.
Mm.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and hold someone's hand about why you shouldn't touch someone's hair. If I say no and I tell you, don't touch my hair, then just don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Yeah, very simple.
Because it's like there's a certain thing. Like, sometimes I'll sympathize with people who don't know better, but this is like basic common fucking knowledge. Yeah. It's like you wouldn't want this to yourself, so why would you assume someone else would be?
Yeah.
You wouldn't do it with anyone else but me. Why would you assume I'd be okay with it?
Yeah, I feel like just a majority of the population is already widely aware of personal space and boundaries. So I don't feel like this is too new of a thing for them to grasp, or too far of a jump for them to make, just to understand, like, why this is wrong.
Yeah, it's like, it's not hard to understand that stuff.
Mm.
So that's like, that's why I don't really have that much sympathy. I won't hold someone's hand, but I'll tell you that when it's not okay and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the answer to your question, no, not inherently.
True. Like you were saying, I'd much rather not give a lesson or lecture to someone every time, because, one, that takes out of my day, and I'd rather just not do that. I'd rather just address them and let them know to not do that, and just not really divulge too deeply into a whole lecture, but give them, like, just a brief reason why that's not okay for... Just for hope that in the future that they wouldn't do something like that.
I have a question. Which do you think is more annoying? Outright prejudice or microaggressions? Like, microaggressions as in they're noticeable, but they're still, like, technically microaggressions.
Are the microaggressions based in ignorance?
No, they're passive-aggressive. So one is fully prejudiced, but the other is passively aggressive towards you.
I would say fully prejudiced.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, because I feel like that shit is just... Both are definitely intentional, but I feel like this outright prejudice is definitely a bit more intentional, to where I would feel the need to, I guess, argue or just... I feel the need to argue more or just potentially just get into a conflict with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Depends on how it goes, honestly. But, like, I just don't stand for that shit. On a baseline level, I don't feel like anyone likes being disrespected. So, I mean, I feel like the prejudice option is a sure way to go.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Mm.
Honestly, I'd rather... like, deal with the microaggression. Honestly, I do will say, like, as a rebuttal, though, there is, like, an honesty, like, aspect to it. Like, you'd better off knowing that someone's just fully racist than someone who makes like underhanded comments every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're both terrible. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you handle like an authoritative figure that directs microaggressions at you, or how would you?
Like a boss or like someone in a higher position than you?
Yes.
You're saying? That's a bit of a more difficult interaction to have because they are in that authoritative position over you. But honestly, this is what HR is for. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. They could be that middleman to help you out so you don't have to have that direct conversation with said person. But yeah.
Got you. Yeah. Honestly, that's honestly the way I see it. But I would say make it known, honestly. These workplaces typically have a no discrimination policy. They have very low tolerance for that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, if your boss is pushing you around, just in general, but, like, especially if they're, like, directing any form of aggression, like microaggressions or just outright prejudice towards you, you should contact someone, contact human resources,
mm-hmm.
or... honestly, you should just tell them upright, like, outright, and then, like, I don't know, maybe later call the company, the mm-hmm. whole company about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did forget to mention that part. Of course, don't just blatantly sit back and just allow the microaggressions to transpire. I would say just, of course, let them know that it is making you feel uncomfortable, and I just ask them to refrain or time or two, but... I would just say leave that more difficult conversation to be had with HR, I would say, so they could relay that message for you so you're not facing any particular consequences.
Honestly, the lesson is just to stick up for yourself when necessary. Mm-hmm. No one else is going to do it but you.
Absolutely. That's a question for you. What age did you start learning about microaggressions? And at what stage have you received the most microaggressions? When I say stage, I'm referring to, like, educational level. So, like, middle school, high school, college, just the different levels when I say stage. I guess it's a bit of a two-parter, but answer it how you see fit.
I would say I started noticing microaggressions when I was, like, in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Started noticing more. Because in my original elementary school, it was very diverse. So, like, microaggressions towards Black people specifically weren't, like, that common.
Mm-hmm.
But in middle school, it got increasingly more common. Like, you start hearing stuff. Like, some kid, I remember, I forgot what prompted him to say it, but he almost, like, he jokingly, and I say mm-hmm. that was, sarcastically, he said to go back to Africa. And I was just so confused about what warranted that, like...
Mm-hmm.
that statement, but it was like, yeah, we had to have a whole talk about it, mm-hmm. crying and all that shit, but still, it just didn't make sense to me. I was like, there's nothing I did that prompted him to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first time I actually got like something, like a microaggression directed right at me.
Mm-hmm.
The stage that I dealt with the most was honestly high school, like I said earlier, simply because I was just in a predominantly white school.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many Black people anyway, so it's not like I had a lot of people around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What about you?
Mm-hmm. I would probably say middle school as well. I definitely became more aware of microaggressions, and there were, like, a group of just white kids that I just began to notice that they made more specific comments that made me uncomfortable. I was like, dang, what is this feeling? Like, what is this that's going on? And then I started to, like, ask around about it, and then I just started to become more informed on just microaggressions and things like that. But not gonna lie, these kids were, like, thinking back now, these kids were, like, very, like, they were covertly racist. Like, it was, yeah, it was somewhat bad, but they were just, like... they never received any, like, severe consequences because they just got away with it. Just, it sucked too, but, I mean, I'm away from that stage in my life and just that environment. And I mean, I'm somewhat chilling now. It's a bit better, but I mean, there are just the occasional microaggressions here or there. And I would say the stage I received the most microaggressions would, I would say high school as well. Because not gonna lie, once I got to high school, I met some motherfuckers, bro. I met some people. I feel like in high school, you interact with a lot more people. Like, in middle school, I never really knew people from other schools and shit like that. But I feel like once I got to high school, I knew a bunch of people from my school and then a couple additional people from other schools. So I feel like just my social circle just expanded a good bit once I got to high school, which, of course, brought up a lot of opportunity for microaggressions to transpire as well, which is why I said high school.
Yeah, honestly, that's fair. But one more question. What was your initial approach to handling those microaggressions, like, in middle school?
I mean, I wasn't as aware of what it was or too informed to really know of a good approach. But, I mean, I guess I would just, like, try to really just let them know, like, yo, I'm not gonna lie, that wasn't, like, and I don't know, like, try to let them know, like, yo, like, you're weird and shit like that. Just, like, occasional shit like that. Just, like, let them know that some of the microaggressions they were saying were just weird, and some of the comments they were making were weird. I feel like that was just my main approach to things. Like, I never really had the, like, more serious conversations with people until I got to, like, high school, like, leading into, like, college.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Have you changed, like, your approach to the situations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're weird isn't really the only thing I say anymore. I actually have, like, a serious and, like, sincere conversation with people at times, especially if I know it's just out of ignorance. Like, I try to have more, like, serious conversations with people and really let them know, like, yo, I'm not gonna lie, you can't really be saying that sort of thing, or you got to be more mindful of some of the things that you say, because they come off as microaggressions.
You can't say them to the wrong person.
That's
all I'm saying.
Yeah, but definitely just more serious conversations and different lines of dialogue, I would say.
Yeah, honestly, for me, my initial approach was similar to yours. Honestly, I did not respond in a typical just get off me type thing. It's more like the first couple of times it happens, you just gotta process it. Mm-hmm. So it's so confusing that I didn't know how to react. So I'm like, what? And then they usually stop, obviously, because it's like now hearing that, they can sense how weird it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I didn't know what to make of it, because it's just such a weird thing. It's like, you don't just expect someone to come up and say, hey, can I squeeze your hair? And then
squeeze your hair.
Yes.
Yo.
Yes. And then I was talking, like, we had, like, a club for a black club. Excuse me. A black club at school, even with the little amount of color that we had. We still were together. And so we just, like, talked about that kind of stuff, those microaggressions, and what you should do with them, like, how you should address them. You should say, no, it's not okay. But, yeah, anyways, my approach is definitely different now. I'll just straight up tell someone, stop doing that.
That's like, it. Bro, just no, bro.
Yeah, exactly. No. Like, you got to hit them with the no, bro.
Yeah, be more direct and blatant.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of that also comes from just how far our maturity has developed since then, to where we could actually have more coherent conversations with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, the way I see it is that you just have to be more confrontational. People have to be more confrontational. Mm-hmm. A lot of times issues aren't resolved and like end up bubbling over simply because people didn't confront the people that they had the issues with. Mm-hmm. In those cases, you just got to shut them down quickly, even if it's not intentional, even if it's like out of straight ignorance mm-hmm. and not like malicious. Just got to shut them down. Just tell them it's not all right. Don't do it. You don't need to make it anything bigger than that, though.
Yeah.
You don't need to start fighting anyone unless they're violating you.
Very true. I didn't mean to laugh there, but that was just
yeah.
so yeah. unexpected for me to hear. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, that's pretty much the lesson. Just be confrontational. Just tell people when things are not all right. Just make it known. Nothing to lose.
Yeah, it's like when people say, yo, you gotta stop doing that because one day you're gonna meet the wrong person. They go, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. You don't ever want to do that kind of stuff because think about this. You meet the wrong person.
On the wrong day.
You might not be coming out, bro.
Mm-hmm. Bro. Yeah. And I feel like not a lot of people have had, not like blatant like hostility and like actual fighting, but not a lot of people have had that type of like actual like frightening experience or interaction with someone enough to the point where they realized, oh shit, this is serious, this is real life, like dang, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Not a lot of people have had that yet. So in having that, like in addressing that microaggression and what they said, that could somewhat provide them with more insights and give them greater awareness on that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Anything else?
I mean, no. I feel like we addressed a wide range of topics and, you know.
All right, then.
Let's end it there. All right, guys. Well, this is the end of the episode. This is the Black and Bold podcast where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics. I'm Luxon.
I'm Nishan. Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and WHUS.org.
Have a good-ass day.